Here is my 2026 hot take to start the year. Touchscreens kind of suck. At least they do when you compare them to the joy of pressing a real tactile button, the one that kind of clicks, there's a certainty to it, there's that feedback that says, yes, you did the thing. So why have so many of the devices we used ditched physical buttons altogether? Cars are, in my opinion, the worst offenders. Modern dashboards are now ruled by like a tablet-sized touchscreen that's in the center console. If you want to adjust the aircon, you better hope you've got steady hands and a spare second or two to scroll. It's not just annoying, it can feel dangerous. And our independent car safety assessor thinks the same thing. ANCAP is now going to require physical controls for key features if manufacturers want the highest safety rating. We'll dig into it in just a tick, but I also want to hear from you. If it's your car or another part of your life, have you made the switch to analog? Is there somewhere where you've opted out of a screen for the good old-fashioned feel of a tactile button? 0418-226-576 is my number. Tell me about the buttons in your life that you love. And with me is Carla Horvek. She's the CEO of ANCAP. Carla, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks very much, Tegan.
Why are you pushing to bring back physical buttons on new cars? It feels like very much the opposite direction of where things were heading.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, part of ANCAP's role is looking at the direction that vehicle development is going in and also looking at the research that's going on, particularly around human-machine interface. And what that's showing is that the touch screens are maybe not the best option for all of your functions. So from this year, ANCAP's rating system has been upgraded, as we do every 3 years. And one of the key focus areas is going to be these core driving functions. So we're talking about indicators, hazard lights, windscreen wipers, headlights, and the horn. We want to see those with some kind of dedicated physical control. Or if you are in one of those cars where there is only a touchscreen, it needs to be a dedicated fixed portion of the touchscreen that's always available for those primary driving functions.
I'm thinking about my cars with their giant console screens in the middle, but they have those buttons still as a separate thing. How much of the market are you seeing where it is all on a touchscreen?
It's not much, and really, you know, it's been a design choice, I think, in part. It's not really been a sort of functional decision where manufacturers are going for that really clean dash and just a touch screen. It looks great, right? But what the research is showing, and there's a lot of research out there looking at all sorts of different factors, is that the time that it's taking you to look and see what you're pressing is time where your eyes are not on the road. And that's the concern from our perspective. The benefit of buttons is that you can feel your way around and you have that muscle memory and you know where it is and you get that immediate response, as you were just mentioning. So that's the concern. I would say, you know, in terms of the way ANCAP incentivizes manufacturers, this isn't widespread at the moment and we're really just trying to move the direction of development and say, we can see people are going in this direction. We don't think it's the best way. We want you to go over here. So we'll start rewarding and encouraging if manufacturers are designing with physical buttons and with those systems, you know, given dedicated space, or we'll start to take points off if you're not doing that.
So you're saying that there's a fair bit of data that's showing that there's a safety aspect here. What about user preferences?
Well, I think the user preferences are pretty clear. People really don't like them, right? So I think there's a small proportion of people who do. But, you know, anyone over a certain age who starts to talk about a Nokia or a BlackBerry, I think is a good example. I mean, it's certainly a combination of factors as well. So we're not only looking at these the buttons and the touch screen, but the overall distraction that the car can be causing. So the driver support systems that are available in today's cars are extremely sophisticated. There are so many crash avoidance systems that we want to see But sometimes the implementation of those is causing consumers a bit of annoyance, and those beeps and the bongs are choices that manufacturers are making that aren't giving a good user experience. So ANCAP wants to see the manufacturer and the design of these vehicles support the driver. Those systems are there to help you, and they're there to avoid a crash. And that's what we want the systems to do. We don't want them to be a distraction in it, you know, in themselves, in the way they've been designed.
Well, speaking of user experience, also with me is Rachel Plotnick, who's an associate professor at Indiana University, and she's the author of a book called Power Button, A History of Pleasure, Panic, and the Politics of Pushing. Rachel, why do humans love buttons?
You know, I started studying a history of buttons that goes all the way back to the 19th century, and I found that even back then, people were really excited about pushing them, so not a lot has changed in more than 100 years. And I think it's all about the simplicity of button interactions, that you push it, you get that kind of immediate cause and effect reaction. But also, they're kind of magical in a way. Most of us don't really understand how our machines work. And so when you push them, it's as though there aren't any kind of behind-the-scenes mechanisms that you can really understand. You just get that instant reaction, and that's very exciting to people.
Your fascination with buttons actually came from the early days of the touchscreen, when touchscreens were starting to pop up everywhere, the iPhone was starting to pop up. What were you seeing us lose?
That's right. I really was noticing around 2007, around the instantiation of the first iPhone, that people were talking about this death of the button. And I thought that was really fascinating. You know, were we kind of shifting paradigms from one way of interacting with the world to another? And a lot of people were very excited about that. But I think on the other hand, there was this concern that we were moving to this screen-based world where everything was going to happen on screens. And when you do that, as you all were just discussing, you know, you lose this kind of very tactile, haptic interaction with the world, and everything becomes about what you see on the screen. Everything feels like slick, flat glass. And I think as human beings, we're really meant to have a lot of different kinds of tactile experiences, whether it's texture or temperature, being able to feel things in the world. And so touchscreens just really don't give us a lot of that interaction.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm with Rachel Plotnick, a button expert from Indiana University, and Carla Horvek from ANCAP, which is Australia's independent car safety assessor. And we're talking about ANCAP now wanting physical controls for some key functions in new cars. We're talking about whether touchscreens are too ubiquitous. And I'm asking for your stories on 0418 226 5776. And you are pushing those buttons to send those texts. I have so many texts from you on this. One person says, I'm trying to find a new or nearly new hybrid car, but it's hard to find a combination of the right car and some manual controls, as well as the inevitable touchscreen. For anyone who needs glasses for reading, the touchscreen is too hard to see. Another says, I'm blind, and the move away from tactile controls such as buttons and dials has been a disaster for people who can't see screens. So I really welcome the return of buttons and dials. Rachel, talk to me about that access and equity when it comes to buttons and how they're designed.
Well, this is a huge issue for sure, as that last comment just mentioned. You know, when we think about accessibility, there are lots of different ways that people interact with the world, whether that's voice technologies or text technologies, whether that's using our eyes. But we have to think about ability as being a huge factor in interface design and recognizing that not everyone's going to experience the world in the same way. And so whether it's just safety or kind of thinking about equity and inclusion, we want to be sure that we're designing technologies that are available to the most amount of people. So whether that's, you know, video game controllers or your car interface or even your keyboard or your smartphone, all those devices should be designed for people who have different kinds of bodies and different kinds of abilities.
Carla, has there been anything from manufacturers yet on whether they're going to respond to this push from ANCAP?
Well, it's safe to say that some never went in this direction in the first place. So I'd say there's been a range of experience there with, you know, the full touchscreen only dash versus some who've got the combination. And really, the best advice for consumers in today's market is to get in the car and drive it, do a test drive. I know a lot of people are buying sort of almost online these days with very small sales shops that you can go into with no cars. But really get in the car. It's the best way to know if you're going to enjoy that experience, if it's got the kind of interface that you want to use. As I said, you know, some people might not have a problem with touch screens and that's fine. But if you're someone who that really matters to you, get in the car and drive it first.
Rachel, it's funny that we're talking about touchscreens only when such a big part of technology and the shifts there are around voice recognition now. Is that the next big threat to buttons?
You know, for a little while, I thought it was. And even a lot of car manufacturers for a while were advertising, you know, commercials saying, oh, you can control your car just by talking to it. But I've noticed that with many technologies, people are a little reticent to talk to their devices out loud sometimes, especially if it's something that you use when you're in public. It always seems kind of silly when we're muttering to ourselves while we're on the phone, or, you know, they're inventing wearables where you have to talk to your bot and it talks back to you. So I am a little skeptical about whether voice is the right thing in every situation. And usually what I tell people is there's no perfect interface. There's no such thing as an interface that's going to solve all our problems. And so I think it's really a matter about choosing the right interface for the right situation and thinking about, you know, social norms and different cues and contexts and safety and trying to kind of balance all these different variables.
Really briefly, Carla, if people are stuck in cars with touchscreens, what can they do to make them safer to use?
I think there's a role for the manufacturers here. You know, there's feedback loops back to the manufacturers. Often we see with some of the software-based systems, and this is not necessarily true for all manufacturers, but there's the ability to change those designs and layouts and potentially do upgrades because the hardware's there, but the software can change. So that's something that, you know, if you've got a concern about your particular system, feeding it back to the manufacturer. ANCAP certainly feeds back the responses that we get from consumers to manufacturers. And sometimes they do have scope to change those things with an update when you go into the dealership for your next service. They can upgrade the software. Can't say that's true in all cases, but it's the best way to give manufacturers that response of how they're finding the system.
Well, watch this space. But for now, thank you so much, Carla. Carla Horvath, the CEO of Independent Car Safety Assessor ANCAP here in Australia. And thank you also to Rachel Plotnick, Associate Professor at Indiana University and author of Power Button, A History of Pleasure, Panic and the Politics of Pushing.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.